Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Soccer Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff. And we got some El Clasico to discuss. Pretty disappointing the way it ended, though, all things considered, in their final match of their second leg in the semifinal of the Copa del Rey. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Premier League and how close we are getting. And we're neck and neck when it comes down to the final spots of the Champions League, as well as the number one in the Premier League. We'll be talking about that. We will also be discussing some possible firings in the head coaching world in the Premier League as well, and we'll go on from there. We'll talk also Champions League stuff too while we're at it. Why not? So, first things first, Barcelona and Real Madrid. It was the El Clasico, second leg, Copa del Rey semifinal at Real Madrid. You expect it to be a close one. You were disappointed because Barcelona just dismantled Real Madrid 3-0. Suarez with two goals, one of them being a penalty kick. A questionable flop on his part, if you ask me. But, I mean, he still kind of looked like he kind of got hit in the ankle there. And so that penalty shot was good. And with this game, there was a lot of shots on goal by Real Madrid that I saw, but there was one that was just an amazing diving save. It was off, it was a cross that went into a diving header, which went into a diving save, which was just a great, like, just a huge momentum, like, just a huge sequence of events that happened back to back to back to back. Great cross, a great diving header, then a great diving save. It looked like it was in FIFA. Like, that was like a get you've seen like FIFA 11 or something, one of the classic ones. So I thought that was great. That was one of my favorite moments of the whole match. But as soon as Suarez made that goal in the 73rd minute and the penalty shot, it just seemed to me there was no chance of a comeback. It just seemed to be way over from there. And you could just tell, like, Real Madrid, just the players just seemed so just distraught, or just they just all hope was lost in their eyes. There was tons of disappointment in their eyes because it's the biggest soccer match, you know? It's in America, it's basically Ohio State and Michigan. It's the rivalry. It's the matchup. And for the Real Madrid to really, like, after the 1-1 draw last week, a couple days ago, you're expecting, oh, okay, we're going to get a tightly contested matchup again. But you could just tell, like, maybe the first half, maybe you can see it as neck and neck. Maybe. I'll say maybe. But then as soon as the second half began, it was all Barcelona. Second half, no doubt about it, was all Barcelona. Barcelona just took over the game. And then Suarez became of his own, like I said, two goals, one of them being that penalty kick. Maybe a questionable call. I'll let you be the judge. But regardless, he got the two goals himself in the 50th. And then as soon as he made that goal in the 73rd minute, it just seemed to be over. There was an own goal right before the penalty shot too, which really just, like, there was two guys sliding for it, and you kind of just saw as soon as, like, they were sliding for the ball to quote-unquote save it, because it didn't feel like they were trying to save it at all, actually. It just seemed like it was teamwork to bring an own goal in, because I saw more Real Madrid players involved in that goal than I saw Barcelona players. Usually it's just, like, one guy bounces off his knee or something like that, but they're both sliding for the ball angled towards the goal. Like, really? That's how you're going to do this? Like, that's how that own goal is going to happen? It's Did you press the X button wrong, or I guess X or square, depending on what controller you're using, what system you're using? Did you press the button accidentally and you just slid right into the goal? So, and then they ran into the goalie too. It just seemed like a Three Stooges event, honestly. So poor Real Madrid gets killed 3-0 in that Copa del Rey semifinal second leg. That means Barcelona moves on to the Copa del Rey final. But I think this game was just as important as the Copa del Rey, and all things considered, just because of the fact, like, it's two of probably the most famous teams in the world, you can say. You can arguably say that. And now Barcelona is going to move on. They play the winner of Valencia and Betis. So that's today at noon. That's in a couple hours, actually. Noon Pacific time, of course. And so I'm not sure exactly who's going to take this one. Because in their previous semifinal first leg matchup, they both tied at 2. So it's basically a lot like the matchup between Real Madrid and Barcelona, because they tied at 1-1 going into the second leg, and then it was all Barcelona from there on in the second leg. So do I see a repeat of this happening here? Maybe. But this is in Valencia, and so I don't know if that gives a disadvantage to Valencia, because Real Madrid got lost 3-0 in Real Madrid. I'm not sure if there's just history's going to repeat itself. But if I had to give the advantage to Valencia, I would, because, I mean, I think everyone gave the advantage to Real Madrid going into that the second leg because of the fact they're playing at Real Madrid. You just get more of an advantage playing in front of your home crowd, especially in such a big rivalry game against Barcelona like that. It seemed to be good to go for Real Madrid, at least to keep it close and keep it competitive throughout the match. But again, it just wasn't meant to be. And so the winner of this in Valencia, the winner of Valencia and Betis, will play Barcelona in the Copa del Rey final. So it is definitely a must watch. So it's just going to be a competitive matchup throughout. Fans are going to be going crazy. It's going to be a spectacle, definitely, no doubt about it. It's definitely an exciting matchup. It is the only like real matchup that's happening today, in all honesty. But going back to El Clasico, it's just, when you think about Clasico, you think of competitive, close matchups. Maybe not close, but just both teams trying. And just Real Madrid just really disappointed me throughout. I mean, they did, like I said, that diving header into the diving save. Give all the credit in the world to the goalie for Barcelona. He saved a lot of crucial goals. But after that own goal, it just seemed like they were disappointed, like demoralized. It just felt like it was not gonna go end well after a while. So after that penalty kick, though, like, even the goalie, you can see the goalie just go, oh, just forget it, you know what I mean? And then to add insult to injury, the Barcelona fans, if you saw them, they're chanting, where is Ronaldo? I think they were chanting, where is CR7? Or they were just chanting, where is Ronaldo? It was one of those or the others. And it was just like, oh, that's just mean. That's just like, it's basically if Messi left Barcelona, Real Madrid would do the same exact thing, you know? And so with that, I do say, with it, you got to add to the fact that Barcelona just is the better team. And this game proved it. Yeah, Real Madrid is still Real Madrid, no doubt about it. Getting any Hazard this summer will definitely boost up that team. But I just, losing Ronaldo, the best goal scorer in the world, is never an easy one to lose. It's losing your LeBron James. It's losing your Tom Brady. You know, it's losing the best situation possible for your team. So overall, like, it did not show the effect of, they didn't really show much effect of losing Ronaldo as a big factor, because they were playing all right, they were playing decent, until they played this game, El Clasico second leg against Barcelona. This was losing Ronaldo is bigger than they realize how big it, they realized it was going to be a big difference, but now they kind of look at it as second tier now. They kind of, they're now, you're looking at what is your, a shadow of your former selves. I mean, I know losing a big player, like, you can always come back. They have the money to get new players in Real Madrid. It's going to be a huge destination for other transfer offers and such. But I just think without Ronaldo, you can't replace that guy. You really can't. And you can do your best to try and replace him, of course. But, I mean, it just showed yesterday that you can't replace a guy like that who's arguably the greatest of this generation, along with Messi, who happens to be on the other team. He didn't do much, like, he didn't score any goals, Messi, or anything like that, but he's still a presence on the field. Just like if Ronaldo was, if he didn't score any goals, he's still a presence on the field, you know? And so that definitely puts a factor in why Barcelona's just more talented, just bottom line. And so with that, you have to also look at the facts. Real Madrid is going to take a couple of years to really rebuild, if you will. Maybe rebuild is a strong word, but it's going to take some time for them to get to a point where they can compete with Barcelona again, you know, in like certain situations like this. Because when Barcelona is healthy, they're some of the best players they're the best team in the world. They're arguably the best team in the world. And it's hard not to say that because of just how truly talented they are. And, I mean, it's Barcelona. This team's legendary. I mean, you can't deny their legendary status they put into the world of soccer. Or football, however you want to say it. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to the Copa del Rey final, and they're facing either... Well, I mean, it's going to be a close matchup for later between Valencia and Betis, but granted... I hope it's not similar as what happened today or yesterday because of the unfortunate blowout, because you're always excited to see it. But, like, in their previous meetings, their last two meetings, both in La Liga round, both in the semifinal and the most recent La Liga, I believe round 27, if I'm not mistaken, Valencia won 2-0. And then Valencia tied with them 2-2. But how they went, they faced each other in four La Liga matches. First one was a draw, 0-0. Second one was Valencia going 2-0. Then Valencia 6-3. Then a tie, 0-0 again. So Betis has not actually beaten Valencia yet this year. So, yes, I would give the advantage to Valencia, definitely. And honestly, it's gonna be not too easy, but if it's ever time to beat them for the first time, it is now to move on to face Barcelona in the Copa del Rey final. But with that, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we'll do Premier League stuff. So hang on tight. We'll be right back right after this.
Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? The GSMC College Football Podcast is your ticket to all things college football. Join us as we talk college football from the national championship, the college rivalries, the bowl game, to the Heisman Trophy, to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, the Pac-12, ACC, and everything in between. Download the GSMC College Football Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts. Just type GSMC in the search.
Welcome back to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. We just finished talking about the Copa del Rey and the El Clasico between Barcelona and Real Madrid. Real Madrid was at the game, even though it was 3-0. I didn't really see them, but I guess some others did. Just kidding. Anyways, moving on, we're going to Premier League, which has really heated up recently. We'll just start off with right now, I'll tell you the table. Liverpool in first, 69 points. Manchester City, 68. Tottenham at 3, 60. Arsenal, 56. Manchester United fighting for that fourth spot in the Champions League with 55 points, 1 point behind Arsenal. And Chelsea still fighting for a spot with 53 points. So, with that, we'll just go, that's right now. So, we go with the games. Of course, Manchester City has won. Manchester United has won again, 3-1 against Crystal Palace. So, both Manchester United and Manchester City had, well, Manchester City had an easier matchup facing West Ham than Manchester United playing Palace, because Palace actually is, I feel like, more talented. Chelsea shutting out Tottenham 2-0 is very impressive to me. And I guess it kind of shows how just this team, that Tottenham is still a contender, no doubt about it. But overall, they might not be out of the woods yet when it comes to staying in the Champions League four set. And then, of course, Liverpool destroys Watford 5-0. Just absolute, just disgusting domination. I mean, after the ninth minute, they already scored, Liverpool, that is, and it just got out of hand from there. So with that, it just better not to bring that up for Watford, because, I mean, Watford is eighth. Granted, they are a pretty decent team, but they were obviously no match for Liverpool. Liverpool's on a whole nother level, and they're trying to hold on to their first place in the Premier League. It is held on by a thread. I believe Manchester City took over at one point in first place, but it's now back to Liverpool. And of course, Southampton shutting up Fulham 2-0 themselves. Arsenal beating Bournemouth. So, but speaking of Fulham, there is talks, which is now official, that Claudio Ranieri is now sacked. Fulham dismissed manager after less than 4 months in charge. Well, they are in the relegation zone. Fulham is just, how do I say this nicely? Not good. Below average. I mean, they are 17 points. It seems like it's all but a certainty that they're going to be relegated. And with a record of 4 wins, 5 draws, and 19 losses, you have to change something with the team. And I know he's only been there for 4 months, but you know, it's too much. And, well, actually, this is actually kind of recent news as well, but I will get in that later. It's about Sergio Ramos. You probably know what it's about. But going back to Fulham firing their coach, I mean, it was probably due his time. Scott Parker is set to take over as the caretaker, like interim coach as of right now. But I think it's just probably the right move. They're about to be relegated. I know he's only been there for 4 months, but I mean, after a 2-0 defeat to another struggling team in Southampton, you have to do something. And they're over almost 10 points from getting out of relegation. There's 25 for, or actually, never mind. Because looking at it now, I thought, oh, okay, the next play, the team that's not the closest team not relegated is 25 points. But I'm wrong on that, because unfortunately, they are the 25 point team I just talked about is also relegated in Cardiff. Southampton at 27 points is the closest team not relegated, so they are 10 points behind the relegation. If they want to be not relegated, they'll have to somehow come back from a 10 point deficit to Southampton or Brighton. Or a 13-point deficit from Burnley or Crystal Palace, which I don't think is possible. So it seems like Fulham's all but a certainty them to be relegated, and so the firing was the right move, maybe just to keep a saving face, if you will. And, you know, when you get that bad of a rap, if you will, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can tolerate. And it was time to move on from him. And obviously, Scott Parker's going to be taking over, but he's probably not going to take the permanent job. Obviously, this summer it's going to be very interesting to see who will take the permanent job for Fulham. So that's going to be I honestly think they are going to wait for the summer to assign a new head coach. That is, so that's just how I see it. And you know, when you're getting relegated, do you really want to be part of the team anymore? I mean, he probably will find another job somewhere else. Maybe. I'm not entirely sure what his future holds, but granted. Fulham is not in his future as he is fired. F-I-R-E-D. Fired. What's that? Oh, like Back to the Future. That'd be awesome. He got fired like in Back to the Future 2 where he gets faxes all over his house saying fired, fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. That'd be great. I mean, he probably did do what Marty McFly did. He probably wore two ties, a double tie, and it was like, you know what? No. 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 Can you imagine if that was actually a thing? Back to the Future. I remember October 31st, 2015. I wore a Marty McFly shirt. I wore, my brother got me a shirt of the outfit he wore. And then my brother actually bought the outfit himself, the actual outfit. I'm like, really? You're going to give me a t-shirt that has the jacket and everything on it, and then you're going to buy yourself the actual outfit? What are you going to do? I always wanted those power lace shoes, though. I know they kind of have them today, but not like that. I want those shoes, those exact shoes. But a man can dream. Maybe, whatever. Anyways, regarding the going back to soccer and going back to the Premier League, what happened this week was interesting to say the least, just based off yesterday's matches. And on Tuesday, we had, Huddersfield beating the Wolves, Newcastle beating Burnley, Leicester City beating Brighton, Everton beating Cardiff. As for Champions League, which happened last Wednesday, we talked about Manchester City beating Shakhtar, as well as Atletico beating Juventus. The next matches are on Tuesday, and the recently lost... Both teams that recently lost, Tottenham and Real Madrid, will be playing on Tuesday, March 5th. And it will be Dortmund playing Tottenham and Real Madrid playing Ajax in the round of 16. And I think the main question is, can these teams, after coming back from these tough losses in these respective matches, especially Real Madrid against El Clasico, can they come back and move on into the Champions League? Can Real Madrid get past Ajax? I personally believe they can, but I think this could be a lot of mentally wanting to prove a point that I think they need to prove it more. They can win it now more than ever type of thing. And with the first leg being 2-1 for Real Madrid, it's going to be at Real Madrid in this next leg, it seems like it's good to go to Real Madrid, but they need to prove a point. I think they need to make more of a statement in this game against Ajax, for sure. As for Dortmund versus Tottenham in Dortmund, it's going to be very interesting because the last matchup, Tottenham destroyed them 3-0. All Tottenham really needs to do is score one goal and it's over. That's basically how that's just going. So, Dortmund needs this home advantage badly, definitely for this game. And so, I don't really give them a shot, but I mean, after the tough loss Tottenham just had yesterday, I mean, it's not impossible for them to get shut out again, is it? I don't think it is. I mean, they got shut out by Chelsea, who you can arguably say is as good as Dortmund, maybe less. There's a lot of questions there when it comes down to the talent base between Dortmund and Chelsea. But again, it's very interesting to say the least, the potential this game has. But I can see them both moving on. And then, of course, we will talk about that next Thursday, or the Thursday that week of March 5th. I mean, is that next week? Yes, it is, actually. Next Thursday, we'll be talking about those Champion League matchup results. But I just wanted to preview those matchups right now. And, of course, we have PSG versus Manchester United also on Wednesday, next Wednesday. And, of course, their last matchup ended in a 2-0 win for PSG. So, of course, Manchester City is in trouble. It's going to be in Paris. So the advantage definitely goes to PSG. But with how this season has gone with their new coach in Manchester City, I am not leaving out Manchester City by a long shot. I really am not. And they are at a disadvantage, absolutely, but don't count them out. No way. You can't do it. And then there's also Porto versus Roma in the other round of 16 matchup that's happening. Of course, it was 2-1 Roma last time, and it's going to be at Porto this game for the second leg. So Porto has an advantage here, a home field advantage here in a matchup they need. They cannot give up, they could give up one goal, but they will have to score, three. And it'd just be a tougher, they have to win at least by one. That's where I'm getting from. Or, I don't know, because I guess they could go 1-0, and because since the away, they scored one away, they can take it, if my memory serves me right, how the rules work there. So that one's probably the closest matchup I see based off of the next event. And then, of course, we can talk about when on next Thursday, we'll talk about Juventus versus Atletico. And, of course, Manchester City versus Shakhtar again. But we'll get on that next week. But as for right now, those are the two main games, or the four main games, that is, between Real Madrid, Ajax, Dortmund, and Tottenham, Porto and Roma, and PSG and Manchester United. Those are the top games that are going to be looked at for this next week. Because, when you look at priorities, people are going to be looking at Champions League way more important than their domestic leagues. Mark remembers saying that all the time, and I agree with him every time. Champions League first, and then your domestic league, especially for these top teams such as Manchester City and Manchester City, Manchester United, who've won in the past their domestic leagues. So, and last time I checked on the table, Manchester United, they are outside of the Champions League qualifying in the top four to qualify for the Champions League. And Arsenal is above them, so they kind of have to pay attention a little bit, maybe a lot, to their Premier League matchups. But if you're taking advantage of where you are right now, if you're in it, go for it, right? So, but it seems like their back's against the wall against PSG, Manchester United, that is. So it's going to be some heavy hitting, or it's going to be some heavy competition in that final matchup, because Manchester United is just going to go all out. They really have a choice to go all out in the aspect of things. So we'll see how all that transpires. But we are going to take another short itty-bitty break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the upcoming Premier League matches, because we talked about the current ones that just happened. So we'll talk about the next Premier League matches. And are we going to see some new changes when it comes down to the table? We'll be all right on that when we return.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. Just finished talking about the Champions League future, what that holds for the next second legs of these round 16 tournament. Still got a long way to go before we crown a Champions League champion. Sounds kind of redundant, doesn't it? Champions League champion. Shouldn't it just be champions of the league or something? Shouldn't they be called champions of the league? I don't know. That's how, I guess you can be called the champions of the Champions League. Just sounds like you're repeating yourself by accident, isn't it? No? Just me? Okay. Anyways, I still love that name, by the way, Champions League. I think it's great. It's the right name for it is all. This is what I'm saying. The right name for a league is the Champions League, the League of Champions. It just makes it sound like it is true that everyone deserves to be there. Everyone is a champion there. Everyone has the right to do it. You know what I mean? But let's move on to the Premier League future matchups because, man, we are coming down to the wire. I know we still have a lot more matches to go, but, you know, when it comes in the top spots, it's pretty neck and neck. I like it. I like it a lot. Who's going to be in the Champions League next year? Who's going to be in the Euro League next year? Who's going to actually win the league this year? Gosh. And we kind of already know who's getting relegated, at least the bottom two. We kind of know who's getting relegated. I think that's just a foregone conclusion. But for Saturday's games, the most interesting one has to be Tottenham versus Arsenal for Saturday's games. Because Arsenal loses, and the next game for Manchester City will be on the same day. And they play Southampton, a very beatable team. More at the bottom, closer to relegation. If Tottenham beats Arsenal, and with the win for Manchester United, they go up into the Champions League. And the others are brought down. So with that, I say this weekend is going to be very interesting to say the least. These Saturday games, like Tottenham and Arsenal, I'm going to be one looking at forward to the most. And I love it because it's on Pacific time. It says Saturday, March 2nd, 4:30 a.m. So, yeah, that's an absurd number. That's a very early time. That's when I get up for work, actually. It's when I get up to get here. Long story, but we do these in the mornings, and so I had to get up. I live about 45 minutes away from the studio, so I had to get up around 4:30 in the morning to make sure I'm up, get some energy drink in me, get a coffee in me, get some breakfast in me or something, get ready for work, and drive all the way over here and record the shows. So, yes, it's pretty rough getting up at 4:30. Believe me, that's when I usually have to get up. But as for the match between Tottenham and Arsenal, Arsenal is, like, they're both very equal, like, when it comes to just, like, I know they're not equal in based off where they're, I guess where they're ranked is pretty close, too. I mean, Tottenham has 60, Arsenal has 56. But I think Arsenal has more to lose than Tottenham because of the fact they can, because Manchester City can easily beat, maybe not easily beat, but have a better opportunity to beat Southampton than Arsenal does having being Tottenham. So, that's just how I see it. In the mix there is, it's all about basically, if Arsenal loses to Tottenham, they desperately, maybe I'm overreacting. But they, to feel comfortable in staying in the Champions League top four, they need Southampton, who is number 17, close or right below right above relegation, the first team above relegation who can drop at any second, to upset Manchester United, which is a pretty tall order. And I mean, that order is going to be expensive. It's like ordering a medium rare. It's holding like a medium steak at a very nice restaurant steakhouse and on a date. And then she orders cake and everything at the end of it. And that's an extra $50. And then your bill comes out to like $350 for two people. And you're like, oh, that's a lot of money. And then you have to go in through that. That's basically what that is for Southampton to beat Manchester United if Arsenal does not beat Tottenham. Because you never really want to be relegated. You don't move down the rung to just the Euro League anyways. So I just have to say that I'd rather, obviously you just rather stay in where you are. So one of those times I do have to say that it's not the end of the world. It's not like they're out of it completely if they lose this matchup against Tottenham and Manchester United beat Southampton. But I think it would just be more comfortable and better for them in the long run if they just stay where they are. I know I'm speaking the obvious, but I think it's just one of those things where you look at it as a potential, like, this is where their downfall began type of thing. And that, I mean, I've seen it happen before, just a downfall, like one loss could lead to a snowball of failure and disappointment to end the season. And you don't know. Yeah, and I don't think Arsenal can afford that, so honestly, Arsenal is in a very tight situation against Tottenham for sure. While they look at the people they're trying to hold off in Manchester United playing a very beatable team. So they're kind of in a rock and a hard place, if you will. Definitely a rock and a hard place. Looking at the other games on this weekend, Bournemouth and Manchester City. Of course, Manchester City trying to take the Premier League championship just outright. They're facing a team they have beaten the last... Every single time they played each other in this Premier League, they've beaten them. They've beaten them five times in a row. And with that, obviously, you give the advantage to Manchester City, but it also is in Bournemouth, so maybe a slight chance for Bournemouth to come up with an upset, but it looks like with the streak that Manchester City is on against Bournemouth, it seems like that Manchester City is going to be taking that one. As for Brighton and Huddersfield, they are just looking not to be relegated. Both of them are not looking, or looking just to avoid relegation. They're both at the bottom there. I mean, when you look at Huddersfield, they are the bottom of the bottom. They're going to be relegated. I think that's a foregone conclusion. But if Brighton loses to Huddersfield, they have a good chance to be relegated themselves. So they cannot afford to lose to the weakest team in the league, and that's Huddersfield. There's also Burnley and Crystal Palace. Burnley is one of those teams that just, again, trying not to get relegated. They're at 30 points, but again, Cardiff, the first place relegation, if that makes sense. The best team that's relegated right now is at 25 points. I think that makes sense. And Burnley's at 30, so they should have to. And of course, Crystal Palace is also at 30. So this game, whoever loses this game, is gonna. And if Cardiff wins their next game, I mean, who knows what's gonna happen? They play the Wolves, very talented. Cardiff plays a very talented Wolves team, but anything can happen, really. So a very important matchup just to stay out of relegation, or stay outside of relegation, that is, between Burnley and Crystal Palace. And like I said, Manchester United is playing a very weak team in Southampton. They did, however, their last game, which was round 28, if I'm not mistaken, was a draw at 0-0. So, which was the last game they played. So yes, they drew last time. So definitely an advantage goes to Southampton in the fact that they know they can compete with Manchester United. They know they can maybe beat Manchester United. So that's an exciting factor for them. But Manchester United needs to win this game to try to sneak away into the Champions League for next season. Moving on to the last game of the day for Saturday, we have West Ham and Newcastle. Just two in-the-middle teams playing against each other. I don't see really any. That's probably the least significant one, if you will. As for Sunday, though, we got Watford and Leicester City. Again, another matchup of two teams in the middle. I think just trying to stay in the middle, you know, not fall too far down. And then we have Fulham's first game without their coach in the Premier League without their coach against Chelsea. So with their interim coach, he's got his work cut out for them as they play Chelsea. And Chelsea, as we know, is in the Europa League and holding on to that spot, too. I guess the Wolves are 13 points behind them, but it looks like Chelsea's going to be in the Europa League. But granted, I think it's one of those things where Fulham is not going to have a good start with their next head coach. Or I guess they're what they called their... They didn't even call it an interim. They just said their caretaker. So I'm assuming that meant what I think it means, and that means back interim, just temporary their coach. And the last game on Sunday is Liverpool and Everton. Poor Everton has to face the best team, the number one team in the Premier League, Liverpool, and Everton's at number 9 with 36 points compared to the 69 points Liverpool has. So Liverpool can hold on to their lead with a win against Everton. I think they are going to do it. Yeah. So with all those games, again, Tottenham and Arsenal is probably the game to watch if I had to recommend any of the games. Arsenal and Tottenham are the game to watch. If I had to pick someone for Sunday between Watford, Leicester City, Chelsea, Fulham, and Everton, Liverpool, I would honestly pick Fulham and Chelsea just to see like the new era, unquote unquote, for Fulham. I know he's probably not going to be their main. He's not going to be their permanent coach after this season, which I'm assuming that he's going to be there for that long, that period of time. I guess based on like how he wins and loses and his record, I guess they could be impatient with him too. But granted, I think that's going to be the most looked for, maybe not looked forward to, but most interesting game to think about in long run. But I think that's our show for the day. Thank you so much for joining us. I know this episode was short, but I think we've covered most of it, covered all the important things. And tune us in next week. We'll have more Champions League updates. Champions League matches are coming up. And as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.